Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Women on the Line, a National Women's Current Affairs program produced at 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne on Wurundjeri country of the Kulin Nations and broadcast on the Community Radio Network. I'm Aoife Cook.
My promise to myself that I would find a way. But some days I just wish that I could go home again, 'cause I don't speak the language and I can't find a friend.
This week's Women on the Line is a special broadcast for International Day of Disabled Persons 2017. Which falls on Sunday the 3rd of December. Artist Larissa McFarlane joins me by phone to talk about disability and art practice, disability pride as practice, and the hidden joys of handstanding and grandstanding. To start, I asked Larissa to introduce herself, and we go on to talk about how she has, in recent years, been inspired by the disability pride movement.
My name is Larissa McFarlane, and I'm an artist and I'm also a disability activist. I had a brain injury 19 years ago when I was 29, so I'm 48 now. And I say that a lot of my life today is informed by that moment, that experience of having a brain injury, and then the past 19 years. And that at the moment is quite... I mean, I think it's always directed my art practice. I became an artist through having a brain injury, a visual artist. And then I've also become really aware of how people with disabilities are really marginalised in Australia, and I really want to change that because it's just not good enough. So that sort of, like, drives my activism.
Great.
Yeah.
As you said, you have a particular focus on art. Where do you feel that disabled artists sit within the art world?
With difficulty, I think. I think that there are many artists in the art world who have disabilities but wouldn't necessarily have the disability in their identity first and foremost. I think that if you identify as an artist with a disability, you are probably going to be marginalised to being part of disability art or an art that's separate to contemporary art in Australia.
Do you dream of an art world that is integrated, or are you more focused on developing a disability art scene that's more respected broadly? Or both?
Wow. I just think we should be accepting each other and in our diversity. I think that I suppose in some ways I have moved away from the contemporary art world and to just and focusing on disability, knowing that this may marginalise me, because I think it's valid and important. And it's also part of my identity. I think that, such an interesting question. I think there's a sense of, you know, I think when you work to change a system, you can work inside it or you can work outside it. And both places to work are really important. And I have learnt in my life that I'm although I'd really like to be working inside the system changing it, I'm always better when I work outside. And to do that, I need to be creating community around me so that I will, because I don't operate as a loner very particularly well, but I do know that I don't work inside systems very well. So does that answer your question? So what I'm doing is I'm trying to create an environment, I suppose, for positive, for disabled artists to make art. That is my vision, but that I suppose I am seeing it as an outsider to the mainstream. Does that make sense?
Yes, wonderful. And when you speak about disability and art, I know you think of it more broadly also. You think about disability pride and disability pride movements and, you know, emphasising this within Australia. What do you mean by disability pride and why do you feel it's necessary?
Yeah, well, disability pride is something that I've only come to quite recently, like in the last couple of years. I've been really trying to grapple with it and trying, because it's a big statement, disability pride, I think, in Australia it is. There are some really amazing disability activists in Australia who are very proud and practice disability pride, and it is a practice, it's something we need to keep practicing. But so I've come to this through realising the experience of marginalisation and the experience of shame around my brain injury and around the associated mental illness and physical disabilities that I have, and always feeling that I'm wrong and that my body's wrong or that my mind's wrong or I'm not trying hard enough, or all those messages that many people with disabilities and mental illness face, and then realising but also knowing that I am doing my very best. So why do I feel this shame? Why do I feel like I'm wrong? Because I'm not wrong. I am who I am. And so I came across the Disability Pride Movement, which is actually a worldwide movement. Mm. It started, I think, and they have annual Pride marches in the States, and the first one was in 1990. So it's actually got a long history. But in Australia, I haven't really noticed that much of it. I do know there was a Pride March last year for the first time, the first official Pride March in Adelaide last year, which was led by the MP Kelly Vincent, and who's in the South Australian Parliament. And, and I suppose, look, you know, I wanted to do my bit. And as an artist, I'm a paste-up. One of my practices is paste-up street art, and so I'm interested in using that medium to try to create art around disability pride. So the disability pride movement, I think, you know, in a nutshell, it is about bringing awareness and bringing awareness to disability and challenging the negative stereotypes of disability that many people hold. And it's sort of trying to highlight that disability is a natural and it's part of human diversity, and it's something that we should be proud of. And the most important thing for me personally is that it challenges that internalised ableism that I have and many people with disabilities have, where we've internalised society's attitudes towards us and we now see ourselves as not worthy. And I want to change that, and I see that standing up and being proud is one way to challenge that.
And when you described disability pride as a practice, what might that mean in an individual's life? What are those practices, as well as marching?
Because we get to do that once, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get to do that in the future. But, yeah, I think because something we need to practice, because I still have internalised shame. Whenever I go to the doctor, which I try not to go to very often, but, you know, there's messages there around that your body is wrong and that you need some medication and you need to do this and you need to do that. So I'm always being seen as a problem. And so I have to come away and balance that and try to practice pride in who I am now and the things that I have achieved and the amazing things that I can do now. There's interesting ways that people practice pride. Some people have gotten tattoos around practicing pride. Mm. And there's quite a few people, actually. I think for me personally, every time I do a handstand, I feel like I'm practicing some pride. And I'm challenging the system that says that, you know, you can't, I have difficulties standing, so I use a walking stick, but I have discovered that handstands really make me feel better, and I can go into that later. But, yeah, so there's different little things that I do. And also I think creating community. So I'm very committed to sort of the peer environment. I spent a long time being a victim of disability services, and, you know, sometimes they did help, but mostly I felt like a victim because they're not empowering places, and again, they're places where you're there because there's something wrong with you. But I was there because there were other people who had similar experiences to me in terms of their disability or their mental illness, and we had a, I gained something from that peer support. And I've also since gone on to work in self-advocacy environments where we work together for our rights. I do have maybe an idealistic vision of drawing all the different disabilities together. At the moment, we're as a movement, we don't really exist as a movement. And we're also really divided into our own disability types. And as I said, you know, the hierarchy of which is a worthy disability and which isn't. Drug addiction, for example, I would also consider to be within disability. And that's well, that was a contested too.
Yes, definitely.
Homelessness. I mean, that's, well, people often, yeah, I'm not going to keep going. but I think that I'd like to see that, you know, if we could actually have more conversations and unite around our differences, then we could potentially grow stronger and develop actually a movement that can actually advocate for change and for respect and for rights and for jobs and for access to education and access to healthcare. These are all areas where people with disabilities are really, really marginalised and find it really difficult to access. And it's not just physical access, it's other types of access.
So, Larissa, you're based in Melbourne, and the your plan is to bring Disability Pride marches here, or some version of it. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I'm not... I would love to see a march, but I don't think I'm the one to organise it. Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Instead, I am using, as I said, my skills around my art, which is in the street art and paste-ups, using that to create a disability safe space, creating a big mural or a paste up mural. I've been inviting friends to send me images of their life, which I call disability culture. I think we need to be looking at the ways our lives and calling that culture and valuing it. So people have been sending me all sorts of things, from their guide pictures, photos of their guide dogs, or some art they've made, or some poetry, and we'll be pasting it all up to create this really big mural. And I'll also be using images of my many walking sticks that I've collected to create the words International Disability Pride, to bring awareness to mainstream society that disability pride exists and that it's actually part of an international movement.
Wonderful.
And that's in Footscray.
Footscray in Melbourne. Wonderful.
Across Australia, you are listening to Women on the Line on the Community Radio Network. This is Aoife Cook, and I'm speaking to artist and disability advocate and activist Larissa McFarlane. To coincide with International Day of Disabled Persons 2017, I asked Larissa to explain the genesis of her art practice.
So you hinted earlier at, or you referred to earlier at, a very important part of your practice, which
relates to handstands, which might be a surprising idea to some people. They've been a very important part of your life. And before we talk about your art around handstands, can you tell us the story of how handstands became important to you?
Yeah. Look, it was about six years after my brain injury, and life wasn't very good. I was like, I didn't actually know if I would ever have a life again that I would consider worth living. Like, I really wasn't sure I really wanted to stay on the planet. Things were really tough. I had brain injury, had a lot of fatigue and a lot of pain and cognitive memory issues, and couldn't really handle busy spaces. And I was also happened to be doing a lot of rehab, physical rehab, because I'd found that really helped with pain. But the exercises they give you in gyms aren't very exciting, and they were really, you know, boring, basically. So I was transferring a lot of this exercise to playgrounds and trying to, I don't know, be creative, because, you know, I actually think brain injury knocked creativity into my head. I think it's one of the ways that you learn to live with a brain injury is you have to be creative, and you have to come up with creative solutions to problems, because no one else is going to. Anyway, I actually don't remember why I first thought about handstands, other than I saw someone on the television do a handstand, and after they'd kicked a goal at the football, and I was like, I want to do that. That will bring me joy. I will be cured. I will be happy forever if I can do that whenever I want.
Wonderful.
So, actually, at the time, there was a book called The Secret. Do you remember this book?
Yes.
Anyway, this is a book that said, whatever you imagined, it would transpire, it would happen. So I thought I'd test out this book, because I was a bit desperate. Why not? Every day in my journal, I wrote down, because I was doing a lot of writing then, mostly swear words, because that's how it felt.
Yeah.
That's how my life felt. But I started writing down, I will do a handstand. I will do a handstand every morning, and repeating this. And I did this for like 6 months. And I kept trying to, you know, work out how to do it. And look, I won't go into the whole story, but eventually I managed to do a handstand, and it was amazing. And then I just kept trying to do them again and again and again. And after about a year, I could do them quite easily and regularly wherever I was. And I discovered that they really helped with my pain in my back and my shoulders. I think just this weight shifting the other way in your body, it just felt amazing. Maybe just the blood coming to my head made me feel great. I also live with quite a bit of trauma and fear, so doing a handstand is scary. I didn't do a handstand as a child. I was not very coordinated. At 35 was my first handstand, and so it was terrifying. So every time, and it still sort of is a bit, and so every time I do one, there's this moment of like, oh, what am I doing? And then you do it, and there's this joy of like, I've achieved something. So I also get to challenge this sort of ongoing fear in my life and get to sort of stay on top of my trauma as well.
Wonderful. So you brought your joy of handstands in your personal life into your art practice as well. Can you describe your work?
Yeah, I just need to say that that happened slowly, because for a long time my handstands were a secret, because it was so much about me trying to cope and me trying to manage my life, and particularly distress. I found handstands were a great way to manage my distress, but I was hiding them. I'd do them around corners or in stairwells and in toilets, and just a way, private moment to sort of ground myself. And after about 6 years, I was like, this is really ridiculous.
Why were you hiding it, Larissa?
Well, this was a thing. I realised that I was hiding it, and this was quite ridiculous. And I think it was because, again, the shame. Because I was doing handstands because it made me feel good, and it was managing my brain injury and my pain. That's what I was amazed. That's what I wanted to look at, was why is this a problem? Why can't I share it? Why can't it be out? Maybe because once you do a handstand, people think it's a performance, and it never was. But I realised that I wanted to explore this issue, and it's actually through me bringing my handstands out into the public that has allowed me to come out, I suppose, as a woman with a disability. It sort of forced me to do that, and I think that's been really empowering, but it's also, you know, been really scary, because I'm outing myself, because I live with it. Mostly my disability is invisible. I started exploring how I could map my suburb, my local area where I did these handstands late at night when no one could see me, and I started pasting up images of myself in handstands on brick walls where I did the handstand. So they're black and white sort of ghostly images, and it's sort of like, you know, this is someone did a handstand here last week or yesterday or last night, and yeah, they're like leaving a ghostly, and they're also a place for me that's a safe place for me. I can go and do the handstand there anytime now. I've marked it out. Does that make sense?
How interesting, yes.
I'm making art about it because I'm still exploring it, because I still don't really know, well, I do know why I'm doing many handstands a day, but it's also very much just part of my practice of wellness.
Wonderful. And so you are now have a residency in the Footscray City Arts Centre. Is the handstand project part of the work you're currently doing?
I'm actually a printmaker. That's how what I trained in and what I've been doing for the last 10 years. So ironically, it's only I did the street art handstands and now I've started bringing it into my printmaking. So the exhibition is a lot of liner cuts mostly, and they are also exploring handstands. The title of the exhibition is called Grandstanding, Not Handstanding, and that's because I wanted to make it like the culmination of my 18th anniversary of my brain injury, and I wanted to come out, I wanted to use that momentous moment of my 18th birthday to create art and to have an exhibition and to be out, to push myself to be public around disability and my brain injury, to practice the pride around that. So it's a bit of handstands and it's a bit of grandstanding. I'm not really a grandstander, I'm actually an introvert, but sometimes you've got to come out and stand up strong.
I wanted to ask as well whether gender is an important aspect of your work.
Yes, and that's a really interesting question, because in the first 10, 12 years of my brain injury, I would have said no. I was actually a really strong feminist and before my brain injury, and I mean, actually after my brain injury, I remember saying to my housemate, I know I'm a feminist, can you just tell me why again? Because that's part of that whole relearning, you have to relearn stuff because you can't access the information that's in your head. But so I knew I was a feminist, but I must say the experience of disability was so much more marginalising than being a woman that I felt that I wasn't actually a feminist anymore for a long time. And then I think in the last few years I've actually realised that, hang on a sec, there's a real intersection here with gender and disability, and that women with disabilities are marginalised and discriminated against so much more than men with disabilities. And there's a special sort of... So I would say that gender is really an important part of my identity.
Do you bring it into your art?
Yeah, I have done. Yeah, in more recent times. Not explicitly, though, because I still feel at the moment that disability is the main experience, or the experience of disability, mental illness, there's a big, broad, diverse experience there. But I expect to see more gender there. It's just that, I'm working through this stuff. And I think it's just interesting to notice my own history in 19 years of moving through what's important. I had my brain injury 19 years ago now, and although, obviously, I am 48 and I've been getting older ever since I was 29, there is a sense that you are reborn when you have a brain injury. You suddenly get a new personality and a new way of doing things and new abilities and skills and a whole different, even your favourite colour changes. And people often change their name. And so there's a sense of, and you have to often learn to talk and walk and do everyday things again. So there's a sense of growing up again. And I think that, turning 18 in brain injury years is a sense of, now I'm entering adulthood and I'm, I've got to be serious about things. But I do think that it is there's importance around play.
You've been listening to Larissa McFarlane, disability advocate and printmaker, currently an artist in residence at the Footscray Community Arts Centre in Melbourne. as part of programming for International Day of Disabled Persons 2017 this week. You can see her work at larissamcfarlane.blogspot.com.au. The music throughout this week's show, chosen by Larissa, has been by Heidi Everett, who describes herself as a creativity facilitator, mental health recovery advocate, multimedia artist, and social change facilitator.
Well, I can't say where the rain is gonna fall, but I'm sure. And I can't say where the rain is gonna pour, but I'm sure.
Women on the Line is a national women's current affairs program made for community radio. It's produced and presented by a range of women broadcasters from 3CR in Melbourne and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network with funding support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. We'd love to hear your thoughts or comments about the program, so please send an email to womenontheline@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Facebook or Twitter.